So you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Zechariah. We are in Zechariah chapter 6 now. Zechariah chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 8 as we finish the last of Zechariah's visions in the night. Zechariah 6, 1 through 8. Let's hear the word of our God. Then I turned and raised my eyes and looked, and behold, four chariots were coming from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of bronze. With the first chariot were red horses, with the second chariot black horses, with the third chariot white horses, and with the fourth chariot dappled horses, strong steeds. Then I answered and said to the angel who talked to me, "What are these, my Lord?" And the angel answered and said to me, "These are four spirits of heaven who go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth. The one with the black horse is going to the north country, and the white are going after them, and the dappled are going towards the south country." Then the strong steeds went out, eager to go, that they might walk to and fro throughout the earth. And he said, "Go, walk to and fro throughout the earth." So they walked to and fro throughout the earth. And he called me and spoke to me, saying, "See, those who go toward the north country have given rest to my spirit in the north country." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wondrous gift of your word. And pray that this morning you would give us ears to hear and minds to understand your word. We pray, Father, that in your mercy, you'd send forth your spirit with your word, doing its good work in us, drawing us to Christ in repentance and true faith, conforming us more and more into his blessed image, and equipping us to live and serve in his kingdom in such a way as would bring him glory. We pray that you'd be with your servant, guard his mind and tongue, that he may only declare that which is true according to your word. And as your word is set forth, Father, and explained, may your name be exalted, and may your church be strengthened. In the name of our Lord, we ask this. Amen. We come now to the last of Zechariah's visions in the night. Next week, he'll kind of wrap up this section, and then it'll move into some larger oracles or prophecies that he had for the future. But he gives us an image that harkens us back to the first vision that he had in the night. Remember, the first vision that Zechariah had way back in chapter 1, he saw something very similar. He said this, he said, "On the 24th day of the 11th month, within the month of Shabbat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet. I saw by night, behold, a man riding on a red horse, and it stood among the myrtle trees in the hollow, and behind him were horses, red and sorrel and white. Then I said, 'My Lord, what are these?' So the angel who talked with me said to me, 'I will show you what they are.' And the man who stood among the myrtle trees answered and said to me, 'These are the ones whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth.' So they answered the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtles and said, 'We have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth is resting quietly.' Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, 'O Lord of hosts, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah against which you were angry these 7 years?'" Remember, so he saw in the beginning just these horses, and it were, here's like a cavalry scout platoon ready to go out. And they go out and they report, and what do they say? All the world is at peace. Remember, and that wasn't good news. That's why the angel of the Lord cries out, "Lord, have mercy." Because remember, through Haggai, we learned God was going to shake the heavens and the earth. He was going to bring vengeance upon the enemies of Israel, and that hadn't been done yet. And he's waiting for that. Well, now we see, as it were, the answer to the prayer of our Lord then, saying, "Lord, when are you going to do something about this?" So now it's no longer a scout platoon anymore. Now it's war chariots ready to go be sent forth to bring God's vengeance. So he sees, he looks, it says, he looks into it, and behold, four chariots are there. So there's four chariots coming down. Instead of just the men on horseback, now they have war chariots. They have, it says, they're coming from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of bronze. Now, this might be Mount Zion and the Mount of Olives with the Kidron Valley going in between. The mountains of bronze are probably, what he's probably viewing is almost the temple, but it's grown. It may be the eternal temple, the heavenly temple. Remember, the temple had the two huge bronze pillars when you'd walk in, one on each side. And it seems that what he's seeing is he's standing, as it were, at the gate of heaven. God is inside the temple in the Holy of Holies. And now the bronze pillars are like size of mountains. And going now, taking up all of Jerusalem. So it would come out from Jerusalem as God's ready to send forth these chariots from his very presence to go and do his will out in the world. So that's what he's seeing. And as he sees this, he says, with the first chariot were red horses, with the second chariot were black horses, with the third chariot white horses, and with the fourth chariot dappled horses. That means different colors. It could be varied color, gray, things like this. So he has four chariots with the horses coming out from between the mountains of bronze. So it's coming from the presence of God, and they're getting ready to go forth. Now, you don't want to get too wrapped up in the colors. Like, what do they all respond? And the reason for that is the Bible, frankly, doesn't tell us. It doesn't say, well, this color means this. And when you look at the book of Revelation, in Revelation, it does give some significance to the colors. And it may be here, like red in the book of Revelation, red is basically for bloodshed, black for famine, white is victory and vengeance. The dappled or pale could be various judgments. But we don't know here. The text doesn't say so. What's really important is just recognize they were all strong war horses with chariots. Children, if you can think of chariots back then, if you've ever seen an army tank or something like that, that's like the big strong things we use going to war today. Well, that's what chariots were back then. That was just the strongest thing you could bring out against the enemy. So they've got strong horses to pull them out and to take them around. Now, he says, what are these? And the angel answered and said, these are the four spirits of heaven who go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth. So what are these chariots? He said, well, these are the four spirits of heaven. Now, the word for spirit could also mean wind. So there's two ways we can understand this. It's either the four winds of heaven, having the idea of here's God's power that goes out to the four corners of the earth. It goes out that God sends his winds to do his will. Or it can be angelic spirits. We know that the angels are God's army. When God is called the Lord God of hosts, it's the Lord of armies. And he has an angelic army. We've seen this before in the Old Testament. Remember when Elisha was surrounded round about and his servant comes and says, look, all we're surrounded. He says, God gave him the ability to see. And he sees chariots and horsemen surrounding of God's angelic army out there. Whatever it is, it has the idea. It's God's instrument to bring his judgment, to exercise his power. And there's the four of them. And then it says, they're going to go. It says, the ones with the black horses is going to the north country, and the white are going after them. And the dappled are going towards the south country. So they're going out now to do their job. The white horses, the chariots with the black horses, I mean, they head up towards the north. So they lead the attack, as it were. And then behind them go with the ones with the white horses. So it's as if you have two detachments going up to the north. Then there's a detachment that goes to the south. He says the dappled are going towards the south country. Now, why are they going in these two directions instead of to the four points of the compass? Well, in that culture, it made some sense. Where were Israel's enemies? Where did Israel's enemies come from? The north and from the south. To the east was the desert. You didn't bring your army through the desert to attack. Why? Because your army dies in the desert. You come from the north, you come around that way, or you come up from the south. If you're going to the west, you'd be in the Mediterranean Sea. And back then, you didn't really worry so much about navies attacking Israel because of the way the coast is. That wasn't something that happened all that much. So it's looking at their two main enemies, the two sources of their trouble. Remember, the Assyrians and the Babylonians all came from the north. They came and attacked that way. The Egyptians came up from the south to attack them. They were always caught in the crosshairs between these great world powers to the north and the south. So what God does, what Zechariah is seeing, is God's stormtroopers, as it were, these chariot things going up to the north and then going to the south. It seems as if the ones with the red horse, they're the commander's detachment, as it were, and they stay with him. And it says the rest, the strong horses, go to patrol throughout the earth, just like the scout platoons did back in chapter 1 when they went to and fro. So now they just go about. And the language here of the horses has this idea. If you've ever seen horses that are just ready to go, so not like these, you know, older horses at a farm and they're just kind of meandering along and eating and stuff. If you've ever been to like a racetrack and seen race horses and they're getting ready to go and they can almost not keep them under control. They're going side to side. They want to just go. They're ready. And that's the idea. They're pawing at the ground. They're ready. These are war horses wanting to go to battle. And then he lets them go. He sends them out. So it says, he said, go walk to and fro throughout the earth. So they walk to and fro throughout the earth. So again, we have the picture. Four chariots with these different
or four sets of the chariots going out. Two go to the north, one to the south, where Israel's enemies are. Another stays with the commander. The others go to and fro. Now, what are they doing? They're going out from the presence of God towards Israel's enemies. It says, and he came and called to me, verse 8, and he spoke to me, saying, see, those who go towards the north country have given rest to my spirit in the north country. Okay, remember, before they were at rest, but God wasn't at rest. God was angry with them because they had oppressed his people. Now they go to the north to accomplish their mission, which is to bring God's spirit to rest. And the idea is God's spirit of anger, his spirit of judgment and of justice. They're going to the north now to punish Israel's enemies. That's the point here. He doesn't go on and say what's accomplished in the south. He says you were supposed to understand that wherever these chariots do, they're doing the same purpose. They go out from the presence of God to bring God's providential judgment upon all the enemies of his kingdom. So the point is pretty simple. It's very elaborate. It's not something we're used to seeing because we don't live in that culture with horses and chariots going out to war and things and recognize where the enemies came from. But Zechariah is seeing a picture of God bringing his judgment upon the enemies of his people, specifically in their mind, this time up in the north, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Medes, and the Persians, who are all up to the north now, and also putting a check down to the south, the Egyptians, because God is going to bring his judgment upon the enemies of his people. Now, remember, for the people at this time, this would mean a lot, because they were being called to rebuild the temple, and they were going to be called to rebuild all of Jerusalem. Well, how can they do that if their enemies are coming from every side, and their enemies are so powerful, and they can't do anything? You're being reminded, you don't need to worry about this, people of God. God has his resources. He doesn't say he's going to raise up Zerubbabel as the son of David and give him an army and you go to the north and do it in your own power. Remember earlier one, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The Lord does it all. The Lord is the one who will bring vengeance on his enemies, who will check their power so that the work of his people can be completed. So in this context, the people would be comforted. God is going to shake the heavens and the earth. Even though it seemed like early in the book, the enemies of God's people were at peace and that was a bad thing, the Lord cries out, Lord, have mercy upon your people. God hears the prayer of the Lord and then he sends the solution that God's wrath will be satisfied upon the enemies of his people as he sends forth his angelic warriors, as it were, here. So we can say, Zechariah 6, 1 through 8 is a picture of the providential judgment of God, which we brought upon the enemies of his kingdom. For the people then, it meant you were safe to do your work. Continue to do the work I've given you, resting in the fact that though it may seem to all human vision, it may seem like the enemies are still strong and powerful and they're still a threat, you need not fear, because going out from the presence of God is the army of God to bring his judgment providentially upon the enemies of the people of God. Now, this is seen throughout Scripture in different ways. In Psalm 2, we're reminded of all the nations gathered together to throw off the reign of God. And what does God do? It says, he sits in heavens, laughs. And he says, I set up my son on my throne. And that's what it says, kiss the son, lest he become angry. He's going to go out and destroy all of his enemies. In Psalm 110, we see a similar picture. It says, the Lord said to my Lord, set up my right hand until I make all of your enemies a footstool. And the day would come when God would send forth behind the Lord Jesus, the greater son of David. He says, in that day of battle, my people will become ready volunteers, as it were. And he'd go out as an unstoppable army to conquer the enemies of God. In Revelation 19, we have the picture of the Lord Jesus coming on the white horse with the sword in his hand, destroying the enemies of the people of God. So Zechariah is seeing something that had been sung of by the people of God, that John the Apocalypse would see coming again. And it's a message to us today. This vision begins to be fulfilled at that time, as God restrained the Medes and the Persians and restrained the Egyptians and all the enemies round about from totally destroying the people of God. So even though things would happen, you know, after the Medes and Persians, Alexander the Great would come and conquer everything. But he doesn't destroy the temple. He doesn't destroy the city. And then he would raise up the Romans because he's coming to the time of when Christ would come. So God begins fulfilling it right at that time. He keeps his people safe so they can finish their job. They rebuild the temple. Everything is ready now. And then, like you've seen before, one greater than Zerubbabel, one greater than Joshua the high priest comes, the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And he begins to satisfy the wrath of God. First, the wrath of God against his own people. So Jesus becomes the sacrifice to satisfy God's wrath so God won't pour his wrath upon his people. But then Jesus defeats the great enemy of the people of God, Satan himself, upon the cross by giving himself as a sacrifice. And in his resurrection, he rises in triumph over Satan. And then from Jerusalem, where Christ rises, just like we see in the vision, from between the two mountains, from the presence of God, Jesus, we're told in Hebrews, what did he do when he died? He comes to the heavenly temple, and he presents his blood before God in the heavenly holy of holies. Now Jesus sends forth his army through the preaching of the gospel. And he starts to conquer his enemies through the proclamation of the gospel. And it goes to all points of the compass now. And the gospel is proclaimed. And through the proclamation of the gospel, God is either conquering people to himself, taking those who were his enemies and making them his sons and daughters. Or the gospel goes and becomes a word of warning. It becomes the, as it were, the sense of death unto death, telling the judgment to come upon these ones, and they are set apart for judgment. And then the day is coming when this vision will be fully fulfilled, when not just by the gospel will he conquer all, but God will pour out his wrath upon all of his and our enemies as the church, and he will satisfy his wrath. So we live in a time when God is fulfilling this spiritually by sending the word of God out, the proclamation of the word of God, to all the corners of the world. And it's a message of life unto life to those who are appointed to life, and death unto death to those who resist. And it's setting apart two groups of people, the sheep and the goats. So at the last day, all those that God conquered by the gospel will be delivered because God's wrath towards them has been satisfied in Christ. To the rest, God's wrath will be satisfied upon them as they're cast out of the kingdom into eternal torment. So that's what we look forward to. So in one sense, the most important thing we need to do is, which group of people are you? Are you united to? Are you one of God's people now? You've been conquered by the gospel. You've believed the gospel. You've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now God's wrath towards you has been satisfied. There's no more wrath. His spirit has been quieted upon you in the person of Jesus? Or are you among that group of people who has not fled to Christ for refuge, and God's wrath still abides upon you, and as you hear the gospel and reject it, it only hardens you, and I have no time for this stuff, this is all just silly stuff, this makes no sense to me, I don't care, I'm my own person, I'm going to do my own thing, nobody can tell me what to do or judge me, then you're set aside, and you were set aside as a child of wrath. And at that last day, God's spirit, his spirit of vengeance, of justice, will be quieted when he pours out his wrath upon you and the rest of those who are outside. So the most important thing to do is make sure you have fled to Christ for refuge, because we know from this vision, God's wrath will be quieted. It will be satisfied. And it's either in Christ or in you, one or the other. Then the second thing we learn here is that we must be about the work of the church. That's what the message was to them at that time. Continue on with the mission that I gave you of building the temple. Don't worry about the strength of your enemies, what they can do, how they harass you. I have the power to send forth to take care of the enemies of my kingdom. You just be faithful in the task I have given you. We learned earlier in Zechariah and Haggai, what is the task today? We're not here to build a physical building. We upkeep the building, we do things because we're thankful to the Lord for giving it to us. But this isn't the temple we're supposed to build. The temple is the eternal temple made of living stones. all the elect of God. Our job is to fulfill the Great Commission, to bring the gospel to all the world, to call people to repentance and faith, and then when they respond, to disciple them, to equip them to continue the work of the church. So we do outward in terms of missions and inward in the term of building one another up. That's the work of the church, and we're to be busy about that. And we can't say, but there's all these enemies of the church and it doesn't make any sense. It's too dangerous, or it's just doomed to fail. God says, don't worry about that. I could send forth my chariots, as it were, to hold back the enemy, to defeat the enemy. You just know, you rest in the fact, I have these spiritual resources to take care of the enemy. You just do what I called you to do. You be faithful in seeking to do your part to fulfill the Great Commission. If you ever look, we have a church mission statement that we put together many years ago. Every once in a while in a congregation, we put it out. And basically, the mission statement was along this line, that we exist to do our part in fulfilling the Great Commission in Cape May County. That's why we're here. And that's what we're to do, is to seek to fulfill the Great Commission here in Great Cape May County as much as the Lord enables us to. And we don't worry about what's going on in the broader world or what's, because the Lord takes care of that. He is sovereign over all of it. He rules and reigns. He has the resources to do with that. He just tells us, you be at peace. Rest in what I've done for you in Christ. And you go and do the work I've called you to do as my church. And be found faithful. And that's what we look to. It's in that great last day when the Lord comes and he pours out his vengeance on the wicked, and we rejoice that God's vengeance isn't poured out upon us because it's already been poured out on our Savior. And then we hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've done the work I've called you to do. That's what we are to look to. That's what we are to do. So Zechariah 6, 1 through 8 is a picture of God's providential judgment upon all the enemies of his kingdom. We all, by nature, are his enemies and liable to his judgment. And God's justice and judgment will be satisfied if we run to Christ in repentance and faith. God's judgment, his justice, has been satisfied in Jesus, and we are safe. If we resist, if we will not come to Christ in repentance and faith, then God's justice will be satisfied on us at some great, terrible day. For those of us who have run to Christ for safety, now we rest in him. Say, Lord, you're the one who will bring vengeance on your enemies. You have control over all these things. You have, as it were, made it safe for us to do the job you've called us to do. So, Lord, grant us grace to do that job. And may the Lord grant you grace. Each one of you, as you seek to fulfill the Great Commission, whether it's by raising little ones for the Lord, whether it's using your business to the glory of God, seeking to honor him there, whether it's using your financial resources you have to fund missions and others, whether it's ministering to the people within your community or the Lord drawing into your circle of influence, whatever it is, may each one of you be found faithful in doing your part and seeking to fulfill the Great Commission, seeing the glorious eternal temple of the Lord being built as we rest in his sovereign protection for his church and his people, and rest that he will someday, his spirit of justice and of wrath will be satisfied as he pours his wrath out into the coming of the Lord. So may we rest in him and flee to him for refuge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have not poured out your wrath upon us, but instead you have poured it out upon your Son, sparing us, Father, out of your great love. Father, may we then rest in you and not fear world powers, Father, or the wicked. May we be about your business, knowing that you have the resources to bring your spirit to rest upon any of the enemies of your church, upon your people. May we rest, Father, knowing that we do not need to seek our own vengeance, Father, or even to defend ourselves in these things. You are our sure defense and our strong tower. We're to be about the work of fulfilling the great commission that you have given to us, to see the eternal temple, the eternal tabernacle established, built with living stones, those who you bring to yourself in repentance and faith. So may we be found faithful, Father, using all the resources you've given us in the fulfilling of the great commission,
And then, Father, rest in the fact that someday you will bring your vengeance upon the wicked. Father, we pray for your mercy upon those who are still outside of Christ even now, that seeing that there is a great dread day when you will satisfy your wrath upon all the wicked, they may see that. They may see the opportunity for mercy now, and even now cry out to you in repentance and true faith and hide their lives in the Savior, lest your wrath fall upon them. Help us to be found your faithful people. In the name of our Lord, we ask this. Amen.